You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday, most days. We weren't here for you yesterday because sometimes life gets in the way. And that's just how it works. But we are generally here for you Monday through Friday. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard with me today, talking about just the overall Celtics offense. The guys practiced today. Brad Stevens had some interesting quotes about the offense not being as crisp. Greg Monroe talked about returning and getting to see what, you know, getting some communication. Marcus Smart was out there shooting around. We'll talk about all of that. We'll talk about Ray Allen and his lengthy, super lengthy Instagram post congratulating Paul Pierce on Tuesday when that happened on Sunday. So that's a little preview into what my feelings are that are. And, of course, your daily Giannis update is Giannis, and today's a critical one, a crucial Giannis, because he is under attack, and we are here to defend our favorite.
Free Giannis. Is Giannis free Giannis?
Very real, very in need of defense. And it's all brought to you by our sponsors, two sponsors today, Draft.com, which it's a Draft Wednesday show, and we're here for you to play Daily Fantasy against me and Sam on Draft.com or the Draft app. Of course, we'll give you a promo code to join us for free on a game. And then, of course, the only real estate agent that you need to be in touch with if you're buying or selling a house or just thinking about buying or selling a house, it's our guy, Jason Manganiello, who is a Celtics fan, who is an active participant on Celtics Twitter, who is a listener to the show, and he's going to hook you up selling the house. He's going to get you from beginning to end as painlessly as possible, and he's going to donate part of his commission to a local charity, and he's going to send you to a Celtics game. So those are our sponsors. I want to thank them for sponsoring us and supporting the show. You can support the show by subscribing if you're not a subscriber, and if you are, a 5-star rating and a good review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're called now, be great, and share the show and tell people that they should be listening to us. And today, let's get into it, Sam. The guys hit the practice floor, and Greg Monroe has played in 3 games since being a Celtic, but today was his first chance to actually practice, and he said that he is he's happy to get out there and get some communication, and he's learning a little bit more about what the guys want. I know the Celtics have been struggling and thrusting a new player, especially Monroe, who does have limitations. He's got positives, he's got negatives. I'm interested to hear your take on, just after seeing what we've seen the past few days, just Monroe, do you still feel Monroe's going to help? When you saw him against the Cavs and struggling and how the Celtics couldn't really play him much, do you still feel okay about the signing or what?
I mean, I'm a little bit less bullish on Monroe than I was before the signing, just because the Celtics played some real dog shit games once he came along board. I don't think it's directly his fault. I think there will be some things that he can add to the Celtics, but I thought it was interesting after the Cavs game, Brad Stevens talking about playing 2 big men and how it really kind of limits the offense and how he ideally would have 4 shooters on the floor. Is he counting Daniel Theis as a shooter in that scenario? It's kind of odd. It feels like there's too many big men at this point I don't. It feels like Baines and Monroe are kind of redundant, and I don't know exactly how he's going to be used. Just because with their offense struggling so much, just the idea of playing two bigs, especially two bigs who can't really step out. I know Tice has made some threes, and let me tell you, I'm big in the Tice camp. I'm on the start Tice movement, but I just don't know. I think Tice as a power forward who can spread the floor is a little bit less effective than Tice the center who can spread the floor. So I don't really know where Monroe fits in at this point, because you really have to figure out if you're going to continue starting Aaron Baines, you're going to really have to figure out how to use all these big men. And having two guys out there, even if it is Tyson Monroe, just doesn't seem like the best offensive lineup for the Celtics. They're really at their best with as much floor spacing as possible, and really their best, I feel like, when Al Horford's at the five. No matter what Chris Webber says about him moving back to his natural position, I think the Celtics' best offensive team is when Al Horford's playing center and they go a little bit smaller. So, this kind of ties into the other guy who we saw practicing today, Marcus Smart. Maybe that the kind of the lineups we've seen are just a reflection of them having a little bit less wing depth, and so they're having to go big out of necessity. So maybe when Marcus Smart comes back, they'll play a little bit smaller, and maybe their offense will improve from that. But I don't know. I'm less, especially just after that week of basketball, Greg Monroe doesn't feel like the savior that I thought he was before the trade was announced.
Yeah, I think, and they kind of hinted at it, it's going to be a lot of it's going to be matchup based. And they do. At the end, I like Al Horford at the five most times. There are going to be some times where a bigger lineup is necessary, and it's good that they have the personnel. Excuse me, the personnel to combat a big lineup, and so having Monroe in there is going to be a positive if he's used properly. If they're going to have to try to integrate him in some of these games where maybe it's not the best matchup, then we're going to see some struggles, especially in those second units where the Celtics have had their problems. So I think it's more of a wait and see. I think he might be a little bit more situational than we were anticipating. I still think that he will help the second unit. I still think forcing other teams to pay attention to him in the post and his passing can be very helpful. But the practices are very important for that, because good passing is about good timing, and these guys can figure it out, but that half step is the difference between a pass getting through and not. I think.
Oh, I don't know about the Celtics and practicing, because apparently it's really bad for them, because in the first half of the season where they didn't practice once, they were amazing, and now they've started practicing, and they're losing a lot more games.
I know.
I don't get it.
It's think some of it's just been a little bit more coming back to earth. Some of it's been some of these injuries. The Marcus Smart injury did not help. I think a lot of people kind of got caught up in the maybe emotional stuff with Marcus Smart, like.
Especially Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
he got caught up with the emotional stuff.
He did something stupid, reacted stupidly, and it was right around the trade deadline, and the report dropped that the Celtics were open to listening to offers, and they wanted a first-rounder for him. That all kind of came together for people to say, you know what, fine, let him go. And I think we've seen that it's super important to have him in there. And even against the Cavs, I think his energy is very necessary. Marcus Smart forces the rest of the team to play at a certain tempo, especially on defense. He's out there vocal, active, and he's flying around the court. He's very rarely, he can do a lot of things that we can criticize him for. He's very rarely dogging it. And I think one of the things that we've seen recently is the Celtics kind of, their effort has been less than desirable. I think Marcus Smart out there will at least force people to step up. He'll hold people accountable on the floor. That's a big difference. And then individually, when the Cavs were making their crazy run, pretty sure that he would have checked maybe Rodney Hood or somebody out there to maybe get them to miss a couple of those shots and then maybe get out in transition, and maybe some things go differently. When you lose by a million points, it's hard to say that one guy would have made the game, turn the game around. But I do think that Smart's energy is something that is sorely lacking now. And I do think his ability to get stops and help that defense maybe force a turnover or two and get out in transition can change the flow of a game.
Also, he's just like a tough as nails motherfucker who inspires belief. Like, I think there's like a psychological impact. I do think he's probably the vocal leader of the Celtics. I can't imagine Al Horford like really laying into someone. Kyrie Irving is way too woke and chill to like really kind of let someone know that they're messing up. I feel like they're missing just his winning impact out there. And that it feels kind of cliche, but you're right. All the things he mentioned on just like his intensity on defense, but I just think his intensity in general, it feels like that the Celtics are certainly lacking in playing Brad Stevens will call it crisp basketball, but I think early on in the Pacers game, just that second quarter in the Cavs game, they're just playing these quarters where it's just absolute dog shit. It doesn't even look like they're trying. It doesn't look like they're trying to execute. It's stupid turnovers. I don't think Marcus Smart, I mean, he's had some stupid turnovers in his day. I don't think he immediately changes the offense and makes them just like suddenly go back to the team we saw earlier in the season. But I think his absence has clearly been felt just in the general intensity of the team. And I think he inspires belief and raises the bar. Cause when you see Marcus Smart going 110% and like diving on the ground and going after loose balls, clearly just human nature, human psychology, you're going to kind of increase your game, increase your own intensity. So I didn't think Marcus Smart would have this, like, I don't know, maybe it's just a complete correlation that they're playing like their shittiest basketball when he's off the court. But I think they're missing his just his general thing you can't measure. And I like it's they've gotten their asses kicked basically in four straight games. Or I don't know, that Wizards game was a little bit weird, but and they definitely did not deserve to win that one. But it hasn't been good basketball this week.
No, and look, this falls under the. If you're not a regular Celtics fan who's listening to the show, or maybe or whatever, it may not sound like there's nothing, there's no quantifiable thing here. This is just something that as you watch intensely, if you watch the game, and I'm not, this gets sensitive because one of the criticisms that people have of more national people is, oh, don't you watch? Well, they can't watch all the time. You can't watch. I'm an observer of the NBA as a whole, and Sam, you are, and I feel like we can speak confidently about other teams, but there are nuances that unless you're watching every possible game, and that's just damn near impossible to do, you have to fill in the gap somehow. And maybe you don't see Marcus Smart. You sit there and you try to say, well, he has a positive effect. When you say he impacts winning plays and his net rating is good, but you can't understand why his net rating is good. Well, that's what we're talking about here. This unquantifiable eye test kind of stuff that as you watch and you just are so focused on Celtics basketball night in and night out, you say, well, yeah, Marcus Smart impacts winning because you can see without him, the energy level just changes. He, like you said, it's contagious. If he's out there running and diving and doing crazy things to win games, then you can't just be the guy out there that's not doing that because then you look like the asshole. So you've got to go out there and match his intensity, and that raises people's games. That's the unquantifiable stuff that Marcus Smart does. And it's easy to get frustrated with Marcus Smart. I sure as hell have. The stupid thing that he did, punching the picture, he loses his cool too much. And I think his emotions are a definite storyline, something that he needs to control, find a way to do that without losing the intensity on the court. That is, I think, an undeniable thing that he needs to work on. But bottom line is, whether you want to believe it or not, and you say there's no statistic, there's no way to quantify it, Marcus Smart being a crazy idiot on the floor sometimes That just,
I was going to say badass motherfucker, but idiot works as well.
That it also is a phrase that you can use.
He's both. He is literally both at the same time.
He's right. The guy that will just do anything anywhere on the floor to win the game, that does have an impact. And man, over the past week, I really, really wish we had a guy like that on the floor. And I think that Marcus Smart's return, we will actually start to see a change in the energy level on the team. Whether that changes anything statistically, who knows? But I think energy and effort have been a big, big problem. And side note, that tends to be a big problem in January and February, right before the All-Star break. So there might be a little element of that going on. We'll see. We'll see how the Celtics stats change. Brad Stevens had something to say about that. It is interesting, an interesting perspective. First, speaking of statistics, that's how you win on draft.com and the draft app, by finding those guys that are going to come out and put up the best stats for you. And if you're out there on draft.com, then your chances are winning of winning are 80% better than on other salary cap sites. So that is a statistic for you. Another statistic is I'm 0 for like my last 1,000 games. And I don't know, Sam, I don't know how you're doing. You're posting like 5 drafts a day.
My luck is turning around. Tonight, I went a little bit crazy. I did a $10 buy-in draft with 5 other people.
Wow.
And I'm about to win $45, and it feels great. So, Donkey Jones, you can suck it. Binary Comforter, you can suck it. Kickstep, you can suck it. And in last place, it's that Brad guy. You can suck it, because I just took their money. And if you've listened before, you know that I've been terrible at this game. But that's like, the luck can change. And I felt like I did some good things tonight. Had a nice David Bertans pickup. Kyle Lowry, James Harden. I don't know. My luck's turning around, because I just won $45. And you best believe I'm going to sink all that money back into the banana stand. And it's just going to more drafts. It's fantastic. You're right. I'm posting 4 or 5 drafts a day. It's just a lot of fun. I got a lot of people challenging me to drafts, and it's just like when that notification pops up, it's really hard to say no. It's just like such a fun, like you spend 5 minutes of your day, take a break from work, and do a little snake draft. It's great. And you can end up winning. Actually, I just won $45. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. It's always money in the banana stand. You can join a draft basically within 5 minutes, be done. Like Sam said, it's a snake draft. So if you pick Kyrie, Kyrie is yours. No one else is going to have Kyrie. If someone else, whatever it is, you go.
You don't have to fight like dudes with algorithms, right, who like turn down hedge fund jobs to do this. That's the craziest thing.
More than 1 million people have already done this. They've already downloaded the draft app. Or you can go to draft.com and set it up. There are drafts literally filling up every second. You can join one whenever you want. And by the way, we're the NBA show. We're talking about NBA. They've got football when football season's going on. They got hockey. They got other sports. So it doesn't just have to be us. You can go out there and still use the promo code LOCeltics, because that will get you free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LOCeltics. So go to draft.com or the draft app on whatever app store you use, insert the code LOCeltics, and you will get free entry into a draft after you make your first deposit. This is, they're so confident, they are offering Locked On Celtics podcast listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100, so you can't lose. So search draft in your app store, go to draft.com, come play for free right now with me. I'm JJ Corrales. Or Sam, which is Rain and Jam. And insert the promo code LOCeltics to join and take our money. Or maybe if we're lucky once, I'll get a couple of bucks.
I'm also offering a money back guarantee, and I guarantee that I will basically lose all of this money quite soon.
Yeah, basically my money back guarantee is even if I win it, I'm probably going to give it back to you within 2 or 3 games. So you're good. All right. Let's get to Brad Stevens, who had some interesting comments today about this offense. We've been talking about the offense. And he said a couple things. I'll read the quotes from Jay King, who not with us tonight, but with us in spirit and with us in words that he's written on MassLive.com. Always find his work on MassLive.com. Steven said, quote, "We're 13th in the league in turnovers in the last 4 years. In the last four years, we've been top six or seven. We turn it over too much. It's part of what I was talking about Friday night. We're not as crisp as we need to be. And part of that is, again, I think we're leaning on a lot of guys to do a lot of things, and hopefully we get better at that as we go along here, but I think that we will do better." That's part one of the quote. Let's take that first half. The Celtics have had, seriously, some of the worst turnovers over the past week. They have looked sloppy. They had a turnover that it was just a gift to, Osman, who went and...
Oh, that was hilarious.
Biffed the dunk, and the Celtics, like, oh, all right, good. I thought that was going to be like a turnaround opportunity. Like, all right, here we go.
They just turned the ball over again immediately.
Literally the next play down. The pass was worse. Al Horford just passed it directly out of bounds. So they have a serious turnover problem. That needs to be cleaned up. So,
and it's like the worst turnovers possible. How many times have they just led like 2-on-1 or 1-on-no, like zero phase breakaways?
Yeah, it's been
so many of their turnovers are just like terrible passes, not even entry passes to the post, just like terrible passes to the top of the key where they're just like lazy and they're clearly getting stolen. And those are the ones that seem, I guess, they're infuriating, but they also, you feel like, well, yeah, you can just stop doing that. You can just, like, those are the fixable ones. So I would agree that I think they have a potential to get better, but they have just, it's, I don't know what's going on with this entire year. Maybe it's just the fact they're playing a lot of younger guys who are worse at decision making, but just game after game, just dumb pass after dumb pass that just like, you can tell us like as soon as they release it that it's not going to be like, yeah, it's immediately a steal. And that just feels like that's something they can easily correct.
They're basically throwing lead passes to start the break, yeah, to the other team. I would rather have Terry Rozier just dribble and try to throw the other team an alley-oop. They're less likely to score.
Hey, he got one on this weekend. He actually successfully threw a lob. That was pretty cool.
That was fun. Part one of the Celtics struggles is don't turn the ball over so damn much. And I'm fine. There's going to be a certain amount of turnovers. But the aggressive turnovers, you hear people talk about all the time. Aggressive turnovers when you're trying to push the ball and you push it up and maybe it goes a little too far, goes out of bounds. You live with that. You know, you're trying to do something aggressive. That's fine. But just trying to work the ball around the perimeter, it's almost like the Celtics are bored and just lazily throwing passes that other teams are anticipating and just live ball turnovers at the top of the key. It's the worst possible thing because that's almost always going to become opportunities for the other team to score. So that's part one. Don't do that as much. You're not going to go down by as many points. Part two, Brad Stevens again. Quote, "I talked to our team today. We're 18th in offense right now according to our numbers. If we score two more points a half, we're fifth. One layup, one basket, one better shot selection, one more time at the free throw line. Like, there's not a lot of margin for error between being good and really good. We're not really good yet, but I think that if we really hone in there, then we've got a chance to play better." All right. So I looked it up. Statistically, I don't see anywhere where he says they're 18th, but
he's got his own numbers, man. He says, you heard
according
him.
According to our numbers. So the Celtics have their own measure for offense, in which they're 18th.
They're juking the stats. That's I love it.
So I looked it up, and however you want to do it, the Celtics are in offensive rating, which is basically per 100 possessions. They're 21st at 104.2. The raw numbers, just points per game, the Celtics are 25th at 102.9. So even let's just take the regular raw numbers. If the Celtics hit one more layup, hit one more jumper, and one more free throw a game. So don't blow a layup. One of those blown layups, let's say they make that. And let's just say they start making one more jumper per game and they hit one more free throw. That's 5 points. They go from 102.9 points per game at 25th to 107.9, which would be seventh. in the league. That's how close it is. And that's a big gap numbers-wise, like to bump your average up that much. But it doesn't sound like a lot to ask for the team to say, look, we blow layups all the time. Make one. Make a jumper and get to the line one more time and just hit one more free throw. Like, that's not a lot to ask of a team. And they go from bottom third of the league to top, within the top 10. So the point that Brad Stevens is trying to make, and he's trying to be positive because Brad's never too high, never too low.
Kaizen, improve the small things, continual progress.
Exactly. Now the team's at a low point, so you hear Brad Stevens start to be positive. It doesn't take much. It's a positive message. You just go out there, just don't turn the ball over as much. You hit a couple more of your shots, and all of a sudden, things start to turn around. And it is really that simple. You just go out there and do those things, and maybe more. Everybody being healthy would be great, because then, you know, whatever's nagging Kyrie or whatever's nagging anybody else, everybody's got a little something now. You know, Jason Tatum's finger. If Tatum can get back to being himself, if Jaylen Brown can continue to play well, if you know, other guys, Monroe gets his act together and feels comfortable, Marcus Smart can come back and lift the energy like we've been saying. All of those things can come together and the Celtics can turn things around and just be fine. They'll be fine. And so I guess the ultimate message is what we've seen is not great, but they're very much not far away from being good again.
No, I think there's some easy things they can do of just, yeah, you're right, making a layup and making more shots. I do have to say that that's just not necessarily, Brad, how averages work. In order to get their total average up, they would have to score like 7 or 8 points a game. That's just the data nerd in me. But I think it's an interesting thing that I think Matt Moore was tweeting about this recently, about how Brad Stevens coached teams in terms of wide open shots have the worst field goal percentage in the league over the past 4 years. But also Brad Stevens' offense over those 4 years has generated more open shots than anyone else. And so it's a kind of a weird paradoxical situation where the Celtics are doing a great job of getting open looks, but then just doing a horrendous job of making open looks. And is that like, I guess the existential question is like, is that problematic that you're missing the most amount of open shots? I feel like I actually asked Brad about a stat similar to this last year, and he was kind of just laughed in my face and was just like, oh, thank you for depressing me. But it's just like, I don't know what the huge adjustments are if the team is just getting a bunch of open shots, they're just not knocking them down. That feels like you get in the right growth mindset and you get in the kind of the right approach, you get in a rhythm, and all of a sudden shots start to fall. I don't think it's a huge situation where the Celtics don't have talent or don't have the ability to knock down those shots. I just think shots like tend to go in when you're feeling better, you're playing in a rhythm. And so right now they're clearly in a funk, and it's not the biggest surprise that shots are falling, but it's a make or miss league. And if they're good enough to be in like the NBA, you have to think at some point that kind of the seesaw is going to go back towards the other end, and those shots are eventually going to start falling. Who knows? Maybe that's just like my sports optimism, because the numbers would say that the Brad Stevens coach team, they're not necessarily going to keep going in that direction. But I think we saw Jason Tatum shoot excellently at the beginning of the year. We've seen Jaylen Brown go on stretches. Marcus Smart is certainly a player who can go on a runner there. Terry Rozier has improved his shooting. Al Horford's is pretty consistent. I mean, this team clearly has the skills and the talent to score the basketball and put the ball, like, just make open shots. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of an interesting just idea that Matt Moore presented. And clearly, through this past 4 minutes of rambling I've gone on, I haven't settled on what the answer is, because I don't know if there is. But I thought it was an interesting point, and I think they have the ability to turn it around. But again, I'm a sports optimist.
So, but he's going back for 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I mean, he did it. It's year by year. It's not like in aggregate.
Okay. I still think if you're sitting there, saying that the question is, if your system is structurally brilliant and results in open shots, but your team is bottom 10 in making them, is the system brilliant? What's the alternative? Like, we can get to an answer here. The alternative is get players who can make the shots. That's what's the goal offensively in basketball? It's to get open shots.
I think the one argument would be to kind of try and focus the ball. I guess it would be more isolation. Like I can imagine an argument being made that force the ball to players like Kyrie Irving or Al Horford, or just guys who are more volume scorers. I feel like the Celtics, when they're performing well, we always see them like with a bunch of guys have 10 points. Maybe the idea is to get open shots for guys who are going to shoot with higher efficiency. That's the only thing I can think of, because the Celtics really do pass the ball around, and it's not a huge surprise when Aaron Baynes takes 8 shots because he's going to be left open, and they encourage open guys to shoot.
Sure. He did say that the Celtics – I did see another tweet today. The Celtics are pretty high as far as isolation goes, and Kyrie is like top 10 in isolation. So there's a lot more isolation going on. But going back to the original premise of the question, the entire point of structuring an offense is to find yourselves the best possible shot. If your offense is creating open shots – regardless of who you are, you should be making open shots, with the obvious caveat that there are some of those open shots are Marcus Smart, and it's like the Phoenix Suns that let him take 3 straight threes without crossing to his side of the floor. Like, that happens too, but that for each one of those, there's another guy who's taking good shots. If you go back 4 years ago, the Celtics had Jared Sullinger starting 44 minutes.
Jared Sullinger took a lot of long twos, if I remember correctly.
Jordan Crawford started 35. Chris Humphreys started 30 games in the 2013-14 season. Let's go to the next season and see. Jeff Green started 33 games. Sullinger, 49. Rondo, Crowder. This is the beginning of the – you had Evan Turner in the – like. Bunch of low percentage guys, and that was like the big trade season. Still not a lot of
a lot of knockdown shooters out there.
You know what I mean? So, you know, as soon as we start moving forward, and I don't know what the year by year numbers are, but you're still looking at a steady improvement in the style of play and the quality of play. I'm sure now, a couple years ago, when you had Isaiah Thomas starting 79 games, the wide open shots started to probably fall down a little bit more. You know, I just think that when you're saying, if you're getting wide open shots but not hitting them, it falls to me on the guys who just aren't hitting them. And you've got to find the guys that can hit those shots. It's as simple as that. If the guys that are getting open shots aren't doing it, aren't hitting them, then you get rid of them.
You get someone who does.
You get someone who does. And Danny Ainge, this past offseason, revamped the entire roster and brought back 4 guys from an Eastern Conference finalist, in part to attempt to find guys who can make open shots. And one of those guys who can very easily make a lot of open shots is currently rehabbing a catastrophic ankle injury, who would really probably help instead of whomever, you know, Shane Larkin getting open.
Chemi Ojale.
I like what Shane Larkin has done. He's come in and provided a significant lift this season, but, you know, wasn't in the NBA last year. And Gordon Hayward is a potential all-star and really could be in this system, who knows, an MVP candidate for all we know. So That impacts things, you know, and having that guy around changes the type of shots. So, look, it's fine. I understand. We're all looking at different statistics, and we have the opportunity to try to ask these questions. I think the bottom line is, if you have a system, and Brad Stevens' system is simply move the ball side to side, paint touches, you know, pick and roll, different ways to get guys open, and you just you get these guys the types of shots that you want them to take, and it's up to them to make them. And if they can't, then they've got to sit, and somebody else comes in to make them. That's it. It's very
simple. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense when you frame it in that way. It's just like, yeah, you need better players to knock down these shots. And I think at the start of the year, you had Jason Tatum shooting the lights out of the ball, like better than anyone's ever shot the ball like as a rookie before. So, of course, the team's going to be a little bit better when, you know, they're getting the best shooting performance from a rookie of all time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Let's before we get to the Ray Allen stuff and defending Giannis's honor, let's talk about our friend Jason Manganiello, who wants to help you buy or sell a house. We've talked about Jason a lot, and we thank him for his sponsorship of the show. And now I have already gone through my house buying and selling process. It was such a headache that I've been turned off by the experience, but I feel like if I get back to a place where I want to buy a house, Jason's going to be the guy that I look to, because he seems to really take this very seriously about making this a very seamless, painless process. He knows. He's been doing this for a long time, 15 years as part of the residential group. We've told you it's part of the top. It's been the top selling group in all of Massachusetts at William Ravis since 2009. So 9 years worth at the top of the group. He gives you personal attention, but with the resources of a large company. And because he puts his clients first, he will help you make the community better in which you're buying and donate 10% of his commission to a local nonprofit. That is, first of all, cool. Super cool that he does it. Second of all, it shows a commitment to you. He's trying to make your neighborhood better and to make that commitment to where you're moving to by enriching that area. Like, that's how much he believes in what he's doing and how much he wants to help. He will donate 10% of his commission. You choose the nonprofit. You choose. The client designates where it goes, and he will donate. Now to the cool stuff. For Locked On Celtics listeners, you buy, sell, or home with Jason Manganiello. He's going to send you to a Celtics game. Even if you just refer a person, if you just tell your buddy or your family member, hey, I know this guy, Jason Manganiello, he'll help you out. And if that person buys or sells a house, you get to go to a Celtics game on him too.
Now that's the most wild part. You just have to tell a friend.
Yeah.
And you have a chance if that like goes through. And it probably will, because Jason Manganiello is going to work his ass off. You just go to a Celtics game just for referring a friend. That's an amazing deal. Simple. It's absurd.
Yeah. If you know somebody that's looking to buy a house, all you got to say is, oh yeah, I know Jason Manganiello. You just email him, LockedOnJason. It's easy to remember. LockedOnJason@gmail.com. Email him. Tell him, oh yeah, I heard about you through the Locked On Celtics podcast. Boom. Done. That house gets bought or sold. You go to a Celtics game. It's simple as that. Like I said, season is ending soon. You've only got a couple more months to do this. And of course, if you buy or sell a house over the summer, he'll hook you up next season. But you want to get in on it now. So email him, LockedOnJason@gmail.com, or call directly, 617-877-5694, 617-877-5694. He'll help you buy or sell a house. He'll help you do a free market analysis, just for thinking. You don't even have to even actually sell. He'll just say, hey, let me tell you what you might be able to get for your house. On top of all of that, even if you just do that, he's going to do a little drawing, and somebody who does that will win Celtics tickets. He's just giving Celtics tickets away. So check him out, Jason Manganiello. You know he's the best real estate agent around. He's going to donate 10% of his commission. He's going to get you to a Celtics game one way or another. He really wants to send you to the Celtics game. And while you're driving around and going from house to house, you can talk to him about the Celtics. He's a huge fan. He's a listener of the show. So definitely hook him up, because we want to keep it in the family. So LockedOnJason@gmail.com, 617-877-5694. One topic you guys can talk about is this whole Ray Allen, Paul Pierce thing. Now, I am in the minority, I think, because I didn't care so much when Ray Allen left the way he did, I didn't care. Because my opinion at the time was, look, they almost traded him. they told him he was traded, and then it all fell through. And so I didn't care necessarily that he made a business decision or he felt slighted. That's his choice. He was a free agent. He could go. Now, I get that there's animosity. I'd never felt it. But I always knew that the public image that he put forth and the private Ray Allen, I'd always heard the stories. I always knew that there was a bit of image crafting on Ray Allen's part. This is what bugged me this time around. So he didn't go to Paul Pierce's retirement ceremony. Fine. On the day of the retirement, the number retirement ceremony, he posted a photo on his Instagram saying that he was golfing.
Not just golfing. He was golfing with George Lopez, who hit his second hole-in-one.
Okay. So that's fun, whatever, but pretty obvious. And look, Ray Allen knew. You can't tell me that Ray Allen didn't know on Sunday that Paul Pierce's number wasn't going up. You can't say, oh, maybe he didn't. Ray Allen knows. He's very well aware of what's happening. We all knew forever what day this was happening. Ray Allen knew. So he chose to go golfing. I don't know if he was even invited. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he chose. I didn't even really care so much. But he posted that picture like, all right, that's a little petty, it felt like. And he must have gotten shit because...
He definitely got shit. There's no reason you post a thank you note on a Wednesday or a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Without like having heard about, oh man, you were like playing golf with George Lopez.
So he posts on Instagram, which is at Trey, T-R-A-Y, 4, F-O-U-R, Trey 4.
He should be named Dub Zero. Or
I'm not going to read the whole thing.
It's long.
It's a long thing. It's a picture of him and Pierce. Pierce has his arm around Ray. Blah, 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 blah. I'll always cherish my time. Congratulations to Paul on having your number raised to the rafters. I salute you, blah, blah, blah. Okay. That sounds nice. Except he did it on Tuesday. And the thing was on Sunday. And if he really meant all of this, if he was really sincere about all of this, don't you feel like he would have posted this on Sunday to say thank you to Paul Pierce? Or not even thank you. Congratulations to Paul Pierce, his former teammate. If you felt all of this stuff, which seems so heartfelt, if you thought all of this stuff, you would have done it when everyone else was doing it. Not on Tuesday. He didn't even do it on Monday. It took 2 days for him to say congratulations, Paul Pierce. I would rather have him just not done it. Just own that you don't like what happened. Own that you don't like the Celtics anymore. Own that you're not friends with these guys. Just own the whole thing. And don't give me this bullshit about a post 2 days later and try to make us believe that you really, really care. It's stupid. And this is the one time where I'm kind of anti-Ray Allen, for lack of a better term. Like, I just don't get why he would choose Tuesday after the ceremony to do this if it wasn't for just some PR purpose.
Yeah, no, I kind of had the same initial reaction. I was like, oh, a little late there, Ray. I know George Lopez's second hole-in-one was pretty important, but you can have two Instagrams in one day. Seriously. I was impressed by the length. It was almost like he was trying to make up like sometimes on a test or like on an essay in school, when you didn't know the answer, you would just try to like write down as much information as you could just to kind of prove that you were smart, even though you weren't really answering the question. That's what it kind of felt like. It was just like, well, might as well make it long because it's 2 days late. Yeah.
It's a little overcompensation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Of course, is it possible I could be off on this? Maybe there's a good reason. I don't see it. I don't see why you would if. I just feels like total PR. Feels like he posted that picture golfing, and he's like, oh, I got to make it up. I got to make myself look good again. But this makes it look worse.
So, I would have loved to have watched Rondo's reaction to reading that post.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Jeez. Him and KG seeing that thing, like, I know.
Fuck Ray. That was me quoting them. That's not my own personal opinion.
Yeah. And you know, Paul Pierce was the first one to say, let's bury the hatchet. And you know, I don't know. It's ridiculous, this whole thing. NBA is super petty, and this ranks right up there. That was my little rant. All right.
Are you ready for my little rant?
Let's do it. Your turn.
These freaking internet sleuthers out there, these people who can't let things lie. There's a beautiful thing going on the internet, and it's a man by the name of Janos. Could be Janos. Don't know how it's pronounced. I'm going with Janos. And people are trying to prove that he doesn't exist or that he's not real. I don't even really understand the angle they're going for here, but they're trying to like dig up images, his profile picture. It's ballyhoo. It's tomfoolery. I won't put up with it. And it's ugly. It's really just the ugliness of the internet. And I thought with all the positives that Janos brought into this world, that we could just accept him for who he is. He recently expressed interest in podcasting. We could have had those moments. And then just people out there have to just be dickheads. And so it's just like a messed up like reflection of where we are as a society, that we can't. This is why we can't have nice things. Literally, nice things are given to us repeatedly by this lovely man, Janos. And people want to try and question that. And it's bullshit, and I'm not here for it. It's not the kind of Celtics Twitter I want to be a part of.
I agree. We have become the Locked On Janos podcast. I'm going with the Janos. Soft J. I'm going with the Soft J. It's not
Janos.
I don't know. It's because of my Greek pronunciation, but regardless, I don't care. This is one of those things that I don't need to know. I don't need to know who it is. I've said publicly, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I hope this is what I want. I like Janos's Twitter feed. Janos,
it just needs to continue.
Just leave it alone. I love Janos. It's hilarious to me. And let's just kind of all buy in. This is Janos. He's from somewhere in...
I think it's the Ukraine, but I'm not sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Why not? It is.
Why not? He loves soup, and...
He loves Rajon Rondo, and he loves Celtics basketball, and he gives a message before every game.
Yeah. So that's all I give a shit when it comes to Janos. I'm just assume that he's making soup. And he's working and
teaching his son and his daughter about life, and they're teaching him things about the new world.
Yeah,
he's been also doing this for 7 years. He's an early Celtics Hub poster. You got to give him credit for longevity. It's a lot. It's bullshit to try and tear down a man now.
Yeah.
So Janos lives forever on the Locked On Celtics podcast. He is a reigning J in my heart. He's already passed me in Twitter followers, which I'm a little bit bitter about.
No, he hasn't. Has he?
Yes, he did. He's soared. He's like at 5,000 now. It's wild. But I can't be upset because the man deserves it. He's a golden goose who shits golden eggs, if that makes any sense.
Well, we definitely need to get you more followers. So at Jam Packard is Jam on Twitter. If you don't know it already, then by all means, yeah, you gotta follow Jam Packard. But yeah, Janos, he did pass you. Man,
his career's taking off like a runaway freight train. Why is he so popular?
He's doing all right. And this is, maybe it's jealousy. Maybe people just can't stand that.
It's so small. People are jealous, and that's clearly what it is.
Just like accept it. Like
this guy's put in 7 years of work, and now he's finally getting the recognition for his hard work.
This has been
and
great.
People are jealous. People are petty. They're small. Be bigger.
Because you got to be happy for the guy. New secure guards at job are very good. I am happy to have them here to help. Like, that's just the guy that's just enjoying the fact that the new security guards are there and doing a good job. How can you not love this guy?
No, he's a good, he's a solid guy, and he always keeps posting, which is very key if you're going to be part of the Twitter universe. And so everyone just needs to back off.
I have been asked if I'm Giannis, and I'm not.
I have not been asked because I'm Giannis. People don't think I'm that brilliant.
Yeah, I should be
honored.
If someone thought that I could come up with this kind of content on a regular basis. I cannot. This is I'm appreciative of him catching up on podcasts, but no, I am just sitting here as a Giannis fan. We Giannis. All right. Well, we didn't do a podcast yesterday, but we nailed a pretty good hour on this one to kind of make up for it. We talked a lot. We covered a lot with the offense and the defense and Ray and Monroe and Smart and Giannis. We got a lot in there. So we hope you are happy with our kind of makeup show. We got like two shows in one. It's like a double episode to make up for No Tuesday Show. We are going to be back after the Clippers game for the last pre-All-Star break game. And then from there, it's the All-Star break. We'll still be around. We'll still be talking. But if you are a subscriber, we hope that you are enjoying the show. If you're not a subscriber, by the way, please, wherever you find your podcast, however you've stumbled onto us, go to your podcast app, search for Locked On Celtics, and subscribe so you can get these things right away. They show up. You can download them immediately and live a very happy life with us. If you are a subscriber, please, again, 5-star ratings would be fantastic. They help us out with our rankings. We've climbed a lot in the rankings, but, you know, still got a long way to go when we are working very, very hard. So we hope that you will pay us with a simple 5-star ranking on Apple Podcast, iTunes, whatever it's called now. Leave us a good review. Make sure that you describe in heavy detail all of the positive things. Do not put in any of the negative things. We don't want that. None of the negative, all of the positive. So people know. But people really do rely on these ratings. So and they rely on people's reviews. It's a way that people decide whether they want to be a part of this experience or not. And after this show, why wouldn't you want to be part of us? The Locked On Celtics experience. So we're back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.